They are some of the most vicious and heartless militants in the world, who have no qualms about massacring thousands of innocents. They are the footmen of Joseph Kony's guerrilla group, the Lord's Resistance Army, which, since 1987, has been waging a campaign to overthrow Uganda's government and establish a theocratic state based on the Ten Commandments and local Akoli tradition. But far from the God-given rules of the Ten Commandments most of us would know, Kony's foot soldiers have followed what seem to be rules of their own diabolical making. The LRA is responsible for tens of thousands of abductions of children and women forced into becoming soldiers themselves and sex slaves. Many are severely beaten, tortured, and disfigured. Many are forced to kill family members or friends. Nearly 2 million civilians have been forced to flee their homes, living in internally displaced person camps and on the streets.
There is a huge number of internally displaced people who have moved from those places. And then secondly, they have moved into the homes of the host community, host families. They don't want to create camps for themselves. They come and enter into homes. And you find one household has a huge, huge number of people.
Bishop Edward Kusala of Tombura Yambio in southern Sudan says the LRA are now operating out of Sudan and nearby Democratic Republic of Congo, forcing hundreds out of their homes and villages. People in his own diocese are afraid.
Their presence in the towns, in fact, has caused big alarm, concentration on the little resources we have, like schools, hospitals, water points. And on the basis of this, we have been making a lot of appeal on the side of the church to for the people to collaborate, to work together, and not much has been realized. Anyway, from the side of the people, at least collaborations are there.
Bishop Kusala told Lydia O'Kane about the recent troubles that his diocese has been facing. Southern Sudan had enjoyed a fragile peace with the Khartoum government, he acknowledges, but now the LRA has turned any hopes for peace upside down.
When they come to areas, the way they behave is terrible. They abduct the young people, they kill those who are resistant or the old elder people, and they kidnap with them so many, and you never see them again. And when even they kill, it's not a proper killing. It's inhuman. They cut people into pieces. They do all kinds of evil on the bodies of people they kill. With this, it has continued all over the area. And now even because the whole movement of the LRA is at the border between Congo and Sudan, the people in Congo have run over to Sudan. We have over 25,000 refugees from Congo in a place, in one of my parishes called Izo, and then we have another one in Yambio, which is Mopondo, which has 17,000 people. And there are many others that who are not in the camps that live within the villages and the towns in the area, in the Sudan. What are the responses? We make advocacy on behalf of this. And many church organizations have tried to pay attention to us, and they still try to assess, you know, the bureaucracy within the international NGOs. But I'm very thankful to CAFOD, and Caritas Germany, Caritas Internationalis, Aid to the Church in Need, and the CRS. This group have been able to come to our aid, but we are still working on the modality because the number of people is so huge to see how best we can be able to support them. So the resources we have is very meager. Right now for schools, the children have to stay under the trees in order to learn. And when the rain comes, you know, our area is a rainy season, all is bad. Another major problem, fear I have, is there is going to be famine in the whole state. next year or soon this year. Because the area is agricultural, people in that area live by growing their own food stuff. But now with the conflict, nobody's able to go to the forest, to the fields to cultivate. So they all keep themselves within the towns. So you can imagine that there's going to be huge number of people looking for food aid. And we don't have yet the possibility to have this food available for the people. The second worrying factor is with the presence of the LRA in the area, there is not any single visible sign or program or plan to get rid of coney from that forest. Right from my government of the National Unity, government of Southern Sudan, and the international community, there is no sign, no program. Yes, you see soldiers moving around, but you just wonder, a handful of men in the forest can defeat the whole Sudanese army, can defeat the whole, now we have the Ugandan army that have come in, can defeat these people, and they can defeat the international community. And they're telling me that, no, this man is a rebel, is a gorilla. Gorillas can be arrested. If there's a goodwill, there's a real interest, I'm sure Kony can be stopped and from doing what he's doing. This is the third worrying point is, as this problem continues to grow, there are a lot of dissatisfaction among the people of the area. People are very sad. People are frustrated. They live in fear. And they ask many answerable questions, which they don't find answers to them. And to me, as I read it between the lines, it's a boiling point within the hearts of the people. It can explode into something very bad. It's going to cause tribal conflict. It's going to cause a genocide. It's going to cause any kind of unrest in the area. So I have this as a worrying point, and we have so much important programs to come in the future. To me, it's deplorable. It's terrible. And it needs an attention. So here, I also remain in a dilemma when I have to think of the international community. I know that, of course, the what always happens is the international community come in when people have already died and there's already life lost, and then people come in and ask questions. Maybe that's what they're waiting for in Equatoria. So this is the situation we go through at this moment.
The international community has come so far, but they don't seem to have gone far enough on this issue. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And actually, this is the nightmare for most of us in Sudan. We know that the international community worked very hard to get the peace that we have now. They spend a lot of resources, human and material and financial resources, in order to get this peace signed. With the signing of the peace agreement, we have a feeling that they have just given up and have left the situation as it is, but there's not yet peace. And I believe the whole of South Sudan, all the states in South Sudan, are unstable. They are not in peaceful situation. It's not only the situation in Western Equatoria. Ours is the presence of the Ugandan rebels in the area, but in the neighboring states have tribal conflicts. They have militias. They have certain banditry group. So these are indications that might have been some working groups behind these things, behind the scene. We are wondering, because you get this, some ethnic groups, some militias with a lot of weapons, a lot of ammunition. Where do they get these things from? And as it goes on with all these confusions, we don't see any clear stand in a way like putting our government on the ground and say, look what's going on. And both the government and the north, you never hear any comment about this. It's not that the affair for South Sudan. But we are also, in a way, working towards maybe the United Sudan. How do we live? If they talk making peace, unity, and attractive, it means every Sudanese is supposed to pay attention to the welfare of everybody so that we feel as a people, one nation. This again, to me, I feel that there's not much being done from the side of the international community. Here we have all many major European countries that were involved in the signing of the agreement. The European Union, the American government, the IGAD, all these people, you seem to see a lot of bureaucrats, a lot of offices, a lot of structures have been created. And what I'm talking about, if you look at the structure in Sudan, you will find a lot of commissions, committees set up for monitoring the peace implementation. But what's happening? We don't hear any condemnation of these things and no serious engagement of the people in charge. So people let things to go as they are. Of course, as believers, we keep on hoping and we hope things will change, but we need to see it concretely being realized that people follow up the peace implementation, and also knowing the consequences of the 2012 referendum, which is going to take place in Sudan. The end could be terrible. So people need to be prepared, and this is the humble time that both the American government, the European Union, need again to revise their collaborative effort to see that peace is built in Sudan. So we are on the hope, and we keep on talking about this and calling on these recognized bodies to see that the conflict in the country be stopped forever.
And a warm thanks there to Bishop Edward Kusala of the Southern Sudanese Diocese of Tombura, Yambio.